So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, Text number 30 and 31 is on the board. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mayi Samram Vajoginam Nistriya Brahma Helanam Pradyeshatam Nikashame Kalinal Piyasa Punaha. Mayi, unto me, Samramba Yogina, by practice of the mystic yoga in anger, Nistriya, being liberated from Brahma Halanam, the result of disobedience to the Brahmanas, Pratyeshatam, will come back. Nikasham, near, me, me, Kalina, in due course of time. Alpiyasha, very short. Punaha, again. Translation purport by His Divine Grace by Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Bijai, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmanas, and within a very short time, return to me. Please repeat. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Bijai, by practicing the mystic yoga system, in anger, you will be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the Brahmanas, and within a very short time, return to me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead advised the two doorkeepers, Jai and Bijai, that by dint of bhakti yoga in anger, they would be delivered from the curses of the Brahmanas. Srila Madhava Muni remarks in this connection that by practicing bhakti yoga, one can become free from all sinful reactions. Even a Brahmana shap, or the curse by a Brahmana, which cannot be overcome by any other means, can be overcome by bhakti yoga. One can practice bhakti yoga in many rasas. There are 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. The 5 primary rasas constitute direct bhakti yoga. But although the 7 secondary rasas are indirect, they are also counted within bhakti yoga if they are used in the service of the Lord. In other words, bhakti yoga is all-inclusive. If one somehow or other becomes attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes engaged in bhakti yoga, as described in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-15. Kamam krodham bhayam. The gopis were attracted to Krishna by bhakti yoga in a relationship of lusty desire, kama. Similarly, Kamsa was attached to bhakti yoga by dint of fear of his death. Thus, bhakti yoga is so powerful that even becoming an enemy of the Lord and always thinking of him can deliver one very quickly. It is said, Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deva Asurasthat Vipanaya. Devotees of Lord Vishnu are called demigods, whereas non-devotees are called asuras. But bhakti yoga is so powerful that both demigods and asuras can derive its benefits if they always think of the personality of Godhead. That is the basic principle of bhakti yoga, to think of the Supreme Lord always. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manamana Bhavamad Bhakta, always think of me. It doesn't matter which way one thinks. The very thought of the personality of Godhead is the basic principle of bhakti yoga. In the material planets, there are different grades of sinful activities, of which disrespecting a Brahmana or a Vaishnava is the most sinful. Here, it is clearly stated that one can overcome even the grave sin simply by thinking of Vishnu. Not even favorably, but in anger. Thus, even those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu. Thus, even if those who are not devotees always think of Vishnu, they become free from all sinful activities. Krishna consciousness is the highest form of thought. Lord Vishnu is thought of in this age by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. From the statements of the Bhagavatam, it appears that if one thinks of Krishna even as an enemy, that particular qualification, thinking of Vishnu or Krishna, cleanses one of all sins. Om Agyan Smirandasya Chananjaran Shalakayo Chakshuramanitanjina Tasmaya Shri Gurvima. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shri Bhashani Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hari text 30. Hetat purvaiva nirdishtam ramaya krudhaya jada purapa varita dvari vishantima uparate. This departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was very angry because when she left my abode and then returned, you stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. 31. The Lord assured the two Vaikuntha inhabitants, Jai and Bijay, by practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you will be cleansed of all the sin of disobeying the Brahmanas, and within a very short time, you will return to me. So here is another reason why Jai and Bijay fell. Or came to the material world under the direction of the Lord. And it says, this departure from Vaikuntha was foretold by Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. She was angry because when she left my abode and then returned, you stopped her at the gate while I was sleeping. So, if Jai and Bijay even stopped Lakshmi ji, her husband was in, is the lord of Vaikuntha, her house is in Vaikuntha, and they stopped her because the Lord was taking rest. They're such good servants, they didn't want anybody to interfere with his sleep. So even his wife was coming back and they stopped her and she became very angry. So because of this, it indicates this was the the cause, or one of the causes of the departure of Jayan Bijay from Vaikuntha. So, they're very good servants, Jayan Bijay. They're doing their duty very nicely. They don't want to disturb the Lord under any condition, even if his wife comes back. So, what to speak of the four Kumaras, who just by chance happened to wander over to Vaikuntha. He says, when the Lord appeared to them, he was beautifully dressed, helmet, beautiful ornaments, so many nice clothes, decorations, symbols, and everybody like in Vaikuntha is dressed up like that. They're beautiful. They all look like the Lord. They have foreheads. So why should these two gatekeepers just let four little nudes walk into Vaikuntha and wander around? No, they were very diligent. They stopped them coming in. But somehow or another, this pastime was happening, and the four Kumaras were involved in it. And another thing, it was Sanat Kumar, he made that curse. It's four Kumaras. Sanat Sanandan, Sanatan. Anyway, Sanat Kumar is considered the leader. So he made the curse. He is actually a partial incarnation of Sanatana Goswami, who is the Sambandha Acharya. So somehow or another, by their involvement in this curse, the Lord coming to see them in Vaikuntha, and they're smelling the lotus, the tulsi and everything from his lotus feet, then they become pure devotees. In other words, they got sambandha with the Lord in Dasaras before they were in Shantaras. No bhakti there. But then they got actually a connection with the Lord in Sambandha, in Dasaras, and they became great servants. Not only Dasaras, they actually have many features, these four Kumaras. Even in Abadeep, they stay here at Belpakoria, and they're meditating on the pastimes of Lord Gauranga. Of course, everybody serves Gauranga in Dasaras, but they're also, they have positions there with Radha and Krishna. Sanatan Goswami is also there in Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So they're also manifested there somehow or another, helping in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And also Sanat Goswami has written the Sanat Samhita, which is dealing with the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And their Sampradaya also is worshipping Radha and Krishna, especially the exalted love of the gopis for Krishna. So they have different features, these personalities, so they kind of get, they can taste all different rasas in different features they assume. You always see them, they're always described as being around when Lord Vishnu appears or someone sees him on the ocean of milk. He's always surrounded by his devotees, and the four Kumaras are always there offering prayers in great awe and reverence. So they're such great personalities. Obviously, being the first persons born in this material world from Lord Brahma. So they have many pastimes with the Lord in different moods. So the devotees are able to do this. They assume forms and serve the Lord. When they're perfect, they can assume forms to serve the Lord according to his the Lord's mood. They will accept a form accordingly. So the great devotees, they expand along with the Lord to help him in his different pastimes. So here it's talking about the mystic yoga system in anger. By practicing the mystic yoga system in anger, you'll be cleansed of the sin of disobeying the brahmanas. In a very short time you will return to me. So this mystic yogic system, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, yogi namapi sarvesham, that yogi is always thinking of me, abides in me. always serving me with great devotion. I consider him to be the highest yogi of all. So this is the mystic yogic system, the greatest mystic yogic system, Krishna is saying there. But one who is his devotee and thinks of him and worships him and renders transcendental loving service to him. Krishna is saying, he is the most intimately united with me. He is the highest yogi. So, it's talking about here that mystic yoga in anger. So Jayam Vijay were cursed to take birth as three times as demons. So they were Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarnam, then Dantavakra and Shishupala. And there was three births as demons. The next birth they took was as devotees. That was Jagai Madhai. There they didn't get killed. The other demons got killed. But after that they took birth as Jagai Madhai. And then they become the Lord gave them bhakti. So then simultaneously they also have a form to serve Lord Gauranga here in Navadvip. Which means most probably also a form to serve Radha and Krishna, because the Lord is propagating the worship of Radha and Krishna. So they were exhibiting their anger and constantly thinking of the Lord in anger. So similarly, Kamsa, he was another feature mentions here. The gopis were serving the Krishna in lust. They were attracted to him in lust. Kamsa was always thinking of Krishna, but in fear of his life. He knew the eighth son of Devaki will kill me. It was the prophecy. That was the prophecy. But he knew that this, because Narad told him, that actually is Vishnu, this Krishna is Vishnu. Well, the Jadu dynasty members, they're demigods. So he scared him. And so Kamsa was always thinking that this Krishna is trying to come and kill me. So he was always making plans how to kill Krishna. So he's always thinking of Krishna in fear of his life. Narad Muni was praising, how great is that Kamsa? Even I can't think of Krishna like that. He's so intense, his thoughts of Krishna. Of course it wasn't favorable, but Narad Muni was praising the very act of his intensity of concentration in thinking about Krishna. He was so absorbed thinking of Krishna that every time he saw some ministers were coming, there's eight ministers. Eight, he would say, eight. It's the death of my life. He would go up eight. There were eight steps going up in his palace. Eight steps. The eighth son of everything he saw in relation to his death. He was always thinking of Krishna. He was so Krishna conscious. Everything he was seeing, how Krishna was there, and he knew. Although he's trying to kill Krishna, he said, actually, if this is his Vishnu, he cannot be killed. He knew that. Nobody can kill Vishnu. So he's always thinking that this Vishnu can't be killed. And the Acharyas say, because of that, then he merged into Krishna, he got his liberation, however it was. Anyway, he come back again. Does he merge into Krishna? Maybe not. A couple of the demons, they merge into Krishna. Anyway, he gets liberation. He got a liberation when Krishna killed him. Even though he was so, because he was always concentrating in, and he knew that one thing about Krishna, that he's eternal. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you know something about my appearance in this world, and my disappearance, and my activities, you don't have to take birth again. And just one thing, if you know about Krishna, that's sufficient. If you can remember that, the time of leaving your body, that's sufficient to take you back to Godhead. Because Krishna said, you won't have to come back if you know something about my activities. So Kamsa, he knew, I can't kill this Krishna, he's eternal. He knew something about Krishna, that he's eternal. He knew that. And because of that aspect, he was thinking, then you know that, then he doesn't have to come back and take birth again in the material world. So that was Krishna's promise. And because Kamsa knew that little bit, just that little bit about Krishna, that was sufficient. It's like he's quoting here, Manamana, Baba Mad Bhakta, think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your obeisance unto me. Prabhupada said, even just one of those aspects, even just one of these, just think about Krishna, or if you're worshipping Krishna, you become his devotee, even if one aspect only you know about Krishna, he said that's sufficient that you won't have to come back and take birth again in this material world. because you know something about Krishna. So here also it's talking about how the gopis, they serve Krishna in lust. They approach Krishna. They thought Sukadeva Swami, Maharaj priest said, how can these gopis, they didn't know Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They thought he was just a young boy. So there didn't seem anything really transcendental about their relationship. They were attracted to Krishna as a handsome young boy. He was their boyfriend, and they were meeting him secretly and disregarding and respecting all the social rules of etiquette by going to meet Krishna. But they thought he was just a lusty boy. And they just loved him. So what's transcendental about that? It's happening all the time in the material world. You don't go back to Godhead because you fall in love with a boy or girl and have a relationship. That's not sufficient to take you back to Godhead. So if the gopis didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so how is it that they're so glorious and they actually attained perfection and went back to Godhead? And the Sukadeva Goswami explains, of course Parikshit knew the answer, but there were many people in the audience who were a bit doubtful when Krishna was talking about it. Mysterious, how this gopis' relationship with Krishna is based on immorality, but somehow or another they're attaining the highest. So he saw in the audience when he was speaking that there was a few doubts there, so he asked this question to clear up the doubts of the sadhus in the audience. So Sukadeva Goswami immediately said, why are you asking that question? I've already answered it. They said, when he killed Shishupala, the light went up, his soul left, his body went in the air, and then it merged into Krishna. So even Shishupala's relationship with Krishna was of envy. He was always envious of Krishna. He was envious and angry. Well, that was his relationship in envy. There's another in anger. Oh, these are anger. In envy also. He was so envious of Krishna. He always spoke bad about him. Of course, he was predestined to kill Krishna. It was foretold. He was born with three eyes and three legs or something like that. And it was foretold by a sage, when he sits on the lap of the person who will kill him, he will lose his third eye and his extra leg or whatever it is, some other thing. So his mother would always sit him on the lap of anyone who's coming to see who is. And then Krishna came and he sat him on the lap. He was his nephew, he was Krishna's nephew. Immediately his third eye disappeared and his one of his arms or legs, he had three legs, something. Then he became like human-like again. But she knew, he's a nice son, but still this Krishna's going to kill him. So she begged Krishna, please don't kill my son. So Krishna said, okay, I won't kill him unless he offends me 100 times. After that, I will. So, you know, he was always blaspheming Krishna. And then at the Rajasuriya sacrifice, when he stood up and went crazy, what is this Krishna? He's no better than a crow. He's going on and on chastising. And Krishna was just there, 98, 99. And okay, here it is. And then he cut his head off. Then his soul come out of his body. And it's hovered in the sky. And then it enters into Krishna's body. So Shukadeva Goswami says, well, if Shishupala, who was envious of Krishna, he got liberation, everybody saw that. And what to speak of these gopis who approached Krishna with affection and love for him. But of course he said, there are many Vedic statements that one cannot approach Krishna unless one is completely purified. So many of these gopis also were, previously they were sages, they were devotees of Lord Ramchandra, they were attracted to Krishna. So they were in full knowledge of Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead. They wanted to experience that relationship, that of conjugal relationship, because Ramchandra, he was Ekapatni, he only had one wife. They couldn't have a relationship with him. So they chose, they worshipped Gopal and they had a desire to experience a relationship with Krishna. So they practice their austerity. Of course, these are great sages, so they knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They knew who they were. So that was already there. The knowledge of Krishna was already there. Even they assumed gopi forms and went to Krishna in apparent lust where they didn't really understand Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it's understood they knew that from previous births that he was already the Supreme Person. And the sages of Naimashangara, the personified Vedas, also took birth as gopis. They had a desire to serve. So it was not, although the mood by Yogamaya is that Krishna, he's Nanda Maharaj's son. But he's so beautiful. He's just attracting our hearts like anything. We're not supposed to go with him, but somehow or another we're going to disobey our husbands, disobey our superiors and go and meet Krishna. That was all Yogamaya. So the statement that you can only approach Krishna, you know, with knowledge of his divinity. Then they knew that in previous births. They were the Vedas personified. They had so much knowledge of Krishna. But when they take their birth as gopis, then Yogamaya covers them, then Krishna's just an ordinary boy. Not ordinary, but maybe not God. But it's understood they had knowledge. And therefore they were able to approach Krishna. And another thing is that, because here it's talking about how purifying this process of bhakti is, that even the greatest sin you can perform in this world, that you counteracting the curses of Ramanas is considered the greatest sin. So how you can become free from that sin is practically, we understand it's impossible to get free from. But here it says, here, by the process, the mystic process of bhakti yoga, the mystic yoga system, you can even counteract such great simple activities as of making Vaishnava Aparadha, defending Brahmanas. See, Jai and Vijay were cursed by the four Kumaras, these four Brahmanas. But Brahmanas, they get their power from the mode of goodness, that they can curse people like that. That's one of the modes of material nature. So that's very powerful here, but how can that affect eternally liberated souls who are beyond the modes of material nature? Jaya and Vijaya are liberated, eternally liberated souls, eh? So how can a curse, which is a manufactured from the three modes of material nature, a Brahmana's curse, affect those who are liberated? It's not possible. But for the pastime, then it appears that they did curse and the giant Vijay fell down from that curse. But actually it's not possible. Vaikuntha has nothing to do with the modes of material nature. So how can something produced in modes of material nature make the liberated souls or giant Vijay fall down from their position? That's not possible. So here, this mystic yoga system is so powerful that it can counteract anything in this material world. Seemingly impossible. This is also, this Krishna consciousness movement is the mystical yogic practice for the age of Kali. This is the mystic yogic system, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Because this movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a movement of Bhakti Yoga. Narad Muni, when he went to see Krishna in the spiritual world, and he was crying. Krishna said, "Why are you crying, Narad?" He said, "I just come back from the material world." He said, "It's Kali Yuga there. It's so bad." He said, "The prime symptom, all the men are controlled by women. It is so bad there in Kali Yuga. I see no hope. I see no deliverance for them. Everybody is lost. That's why I'm crying." And Krishna says, "It's a fact. It's a fact. There is no hope for these people in Kali Yuga." He said, "Because the age of Kali is so powerful that nothing can counteract it." He said, "Your karma, yoga, jnana, Ivanashram institution, all five forms of religion, any form of self-realization, it's not powerful enough. Kali Raj is so powerful in this time that nothing can counteract him. So it's a fact, there's nothing to counteract the age of Kali in the material world." He said, "There's only one thing that can counteract it. That's something that's not in the material world. No, that's me. I'm the only thing that can counteract it. So therefore I will come in the form of my own holy name. And taking all of my devotees with me and my weapons, we will come and we will perform Harinam Sankirtan and we will smash the poisonous fangs of Kali. She will flee, she will have no more hold on the living entities of Kali Yuga." So this is what Mahaprabhu has brought. It's this Bhakti Yoga system, mystic yoga system. It's so powerful, there's nothing it can't counteract. Nothing materially it can't counteract. So it's the only thing that is helpful in this age of Kali. So this Krishna consciousness is based on this principle. In fact, we see how powerful it is. And we are the proof. We were crawling around in some gutter somewhere and we performed this Bhakti Yoga system and Kali lost the hold. Maya Devi lost her hold. So powerful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, maybe Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, "When you understand that this message of Navadvip, this message of Panchatattva, is the only thing that can help the living entities of Kali Yuga, there's no absolutely nothing else that can help the living entities in Kali Yuga. They're completely bound. There's only the message of Navadvip can help them." He said, "When you understand that, and you see how these living entities are suffering, and they need it more than anything else in the world, they need this Krishna consciousness mystic yogic process to free them." He said, "When you have developed a heartfelt need to give this message of Panchatattva of Navadvip to others as their only saving grace, when you actually feel it a heartfelt need to give to others. He said, at that very moment, Navadip Dham will be revealed within your heart. Gauranga, you will be revealed. The Navadip Dham, all the Leelas, everything will be revealed within your heart. If you simply develop that mood, the heartfelt mood to give this message, the only thing that can help the people of Kali Yuga, and you give to others. How it's possible? Because this is the actual mood of Navadvipa Dham. This is called Adhoja Dham. Adhoja means generosity, giving. It's in the mood of giving. So, Gauranga is in this mood. He's came to taste. He has two desires. One is to taste the love his devotees have for him, for Krishna himself. And the other one is to establish the Yuga Dharma. So he wants to taste his own devotees' love for himself. Therefore he assumes the form of the sentiment of Srimati Radharani, to experience her love for Krishna. So that's his selfish desire. Supremely selfish, because he is supreme. So he has a supremely selfish desire to experience the love his devotees have for him. And his other desire is simultaneously to propagate the Sankirtan mission as the Yuga Dharma. So he comes and he satisfies his desire to taste, to enjoy the love of his devotees. And he's tasting that in that mood of Srimati Radharani. But while he's doing that, he's become intoxicated. He's never experienced anything like this before. So he's become intoxicated. And in this intoxicated condition, he's performing his other desire to establish this, the Sankirtan mission. But when a man's intoxicated, he doesn't know, he goes crazy, he doesn't know what he's doing. So though he's got the greatest, rarest jewel he's experiencing, no one else can experience that. But somehow or another he's become intoxicated. He's giving it freely in Kali Yuga. You don't worry about your qualification, disqualification. Just take it. This is his. So he's in this mood. So when he comes, the Dham descends, so, and all of his devotees also take birth with him, and they all pick up the same mood to assist him in that pastime. So Navadvipa means everything has this mood here. All of his devotees, the grass, the trees, the Ganga, the water, the air, the tree, everything has this mood of adoja. They want to give. So what Bhaktivinoda Thakura is saying, if you can develop that mood also, a heartfelt need to give, then what is the difference between your consciousness and the residents of the Dham? There is no difference. So if your consciousness is that, already the Dham is achieved. The Dham is not only a location, it's a state of mind. So if you've got that condition of mind already, that's Dham, you're already there. So adhoja, if we can develop this attitude and want to serve Gauranga, what is his, the greatest quality, the greatest principle of this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is daya, mercy, giving that mercy. So Lord is always giving mercy, every incarnation is giving mercy. So what's so special about Lord Chaitanya? He's also giving mercy. But this mercy is something different. He's giving what no incarnation ever gave before. Because he comes to give Braja Prema. I will come in the age of Kali and I will give all the devotees and all the avatars and all the different sampradayas the opportunity to taste what is Braja Prema. So even the avatars are coming because they get an opportunity in his condition also to taste what is Braja Prema. Otherwise, it's not even available for the avatars. Mahavishnu couldn't come and see Krishna's pastime. So here he's given an opportunity in this form of Gauranga. And it's stated that all these sampradayas will come under the banner of Sankirtan in Kali Yuga. That means Christians, Muslims, all the major sampradayas in India. They'll all come under the banner of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. So this is the consciousness of Navadvi, Adhoja, wanted generosity, wanting to give. This is the only difference between Vrindavan and Navadvip. Otherwise they're the same. In Navadvip, this mood of Adhoja is prominent. And in Vrindavan, the Madhujya mood is there, the sweetness, the sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's all that's existing there. And all the inhabitants of Vrindavan are bringing Radha and Krishna together, Sambhoga, then they're separating. And Vipralamba. This is all that's going on. Radha and Krishna's meeting and separate. So it's always Sambhoga and Vipralamba, separation and union, separation. And all the inhabitants there, that's all they're doing. That's the whole, what is Radha and Krishna's pastime. So that's creating such a sweet taste, how they're helping Radha and Krishna come together and enjoy their pastimes, helping them to separate and feel separation to increase the pastimes. So then this sweetness, Radha and Krishna's sweetness, is very, very prominent in Vrindavan. Adhoja is there, that aspect is there, it's also complete in Vrindavan. But the Madhujya, the sweetness aspect, is predominant. In Navadvip, Madhujya is also fully present here, in full. But the Adhoja aspect, the generosity, that becomes more prominent in Kali. That's the only difference. So here actually we are Radha Krishna, how we can approach that? That's kind of very difficult, not so easy. But Mahaprabhu, now he is Radha Krishna, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha. But he has made himself available, approachable, without qualification. Radha Krishna, you can approach them, but there has to be qualification. Radha Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's made himself approachable, without qualification, with or without, he's not caring. So this is our relationship, is more with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This whole mission is Mahaprabhu's mission. This should be our, you know, our mood and intention to establish the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or assist in establishing the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. Because this is the only thing that's going to help the living in. And by doing this, you get that taste of Braj that will be awarded anyway. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gopremanandi.